Create Art Podcast, KDOI Rebroadcast, Conversations on Community with Mike Porter. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Kimo Bryan, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where I use my 20 years plus from my experiences in the arts and education world to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. Now, a few years ago, I used to run a podcast called KDOI Podcast, which stood for Kimo's Den of Iniquity. I closed down that podcast and started up Create Art Podcast because I felt that that is a better way to communicate to you what this podcast is about. So in 2022, I'll be rebroadcasting season 3 of KDOI Podcasting. Now for this episode, I'll be talking with Mike Porter, and we're going to be discussing community. And in each of these episodes, I start off with the definition of community, and then two quotes. And then I talk to my guest to see what their opinion is on that topic. So I hope you enjoy. Welcome back, friends. Welcome to KDOI Podcasting, Kimo's Den of Iniquity, where we create more than we consume. I am your head instigator, Timothy Kimo Bryan. Many times, creating art is done in an imposed isolation or away from our audience. When we do that, we can often feel like we're the only person doing the art we are doing, and we may never find our intended audience. It's important to find our community, to learn, to challenge, and to inspire our creativity. I never went to conferences while in college, but since I left academia, I've gone to 3 conferences in 2 years about podcasting. Now, each time I meet the other weirdos that do what I do, I have a sense of family, that I'm not the only crazy one out there doing this. It makes me want to push through blockages and create more. Now, let's listen to what Merriam-Webster says. A unified body of individuals, the people with common interests living in a particular area broadly, a group of people with a common characteristic or interest living together within a larger society, a body of persons of common and especially professional interests scattered throughout a larger society, a body of persons or nations having a common history or a common social, economic, and political interests, a group linked by a common policy, joint ownership or participation, social activity. Our quotes come from Goethe, however you'd like to pronounce his name. The world is so empty if one thinks only of mountains, rivers, and cities. But to know someone who thinks, feels with us, and who through distant, and who though distant, is close to us in spirit, this makes the earth for us an inhabited garden. We also have Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers to the most of us. We live in a world in which we need to share responsibility. It is easy to say, it's not my child, not my community, not my world, not my problem. Then there are those who see the need and respond. I consider those people my heroes. Goethe was a German writer and statesman. His works include 4 novels, epic and lyric poetry, prose, verse dramas, memoirs, autobiography, literary and aesthetic criticism, and treatises on botany, anatomy, and color. Fred Rogers, otherwise known as Mr. Rogers, was an American television personality, musician, puppeteer, writer, producer, and, I didn't know this, Presbyterian minister. Dictionary definition was very long-winded, but what really spoke to me was body of persons of common and specifically professional interest scattered throughout through a larger society. You know, we have shared interest in our exploration and interpretation of art. Yes, we are all over the world, and we can always find a kindred soul that way. For me, you can't go wrong with Fred Rogers. We do have a shared responsibility, and isn't it great to know that we can help each other out? In fact, many artists I know are only too happy to help other artists out with supplies, or a space to express themselves, just like I'm doing here today. So let's get this conversation started.
What you need to be making off of your art in order to consider yourself a professional artist.
All right, so it's $400 a year.
$400 a year.
Is it 400 American or 400 Canadian or 400 Australian?
It's $400 American.
Yeah, why?
Unless you're a dual citizen and you're living in Australia, in which case it's whatever their tax code says.
Well, why does it have to be 400 American?
Because that is the amount that.
But who determines that it has to be American? Who's the determining factor? Who is saying that it has to be 400 American? Who says that?
The government.
Which government?
The American government.
Well, is there an American government?
There is definitely
is there an American government.
Off and on. Occasionally.
Every 4 years, there might be an American government. We get an extra day.
If we want to be open.
I like being open. I'm all about being open.
And honest.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. No.
So open and dishonest. Ask me anything. I'll tell you anything. Not necessarily the truth.
Openly dishonest is a beautiful thing. Openly dishonest. That's the way I like to be. That's what I'm going to run my platform on, that you are going to be the head of.
Right, except I can't be because I'm a Canadian citizen.
That's okay. We're going to run you for president. I'll be your vice president. When you are elected, then you can just kind of go.
I don't even think I can run.
Sure you can. Anybody can run.
No. I think you have to be, 35 years old and an American citizen.
Technicalities.
Or
you can run. You just can't win.
I don't think that's true. I think this is one of those openly dishonest moments. It sounds good.
And folks, you have tuned into another episode of KDOI Podcasting, where we create more than we consume. And as you know, I'm Timothy Kim O'Brien, and I have with me here our wonderful merchant of mirth, our purveyor of books of glee and happiness, Mr. Mike Porter. Now, is Little Fish still an official thing, or is it not a thing?
Little Fish comics died.
Okay, Little
Sadly.
Fish is dead.
I do have a secret nerd panda, which is up and running and is doing okay. But you can find me in person at Sage Mantis Game Haven and Comics.
Which we just came from this very afternoon before we recorded this podcast. And it was a very mirthful place. There's a lot of happiness in that place.
For the people coming in, yes. For the employees, not so much.
See, folks, that's why when you go into these places, you need to provide either mirth or leave the employees alone. Don't feed the employees.
No, feed.
Feed the employees.
Oh, yeah, bring food. I love food.
What kind of food would provide you with a sustainable amount of happiness for about 2 hours?
Well, we do have one customer who is a professional chef, and he brings me pastries, apple pastries.
Oh, nice.
All the time, and I appreciate him very much.
So, folks, pastries, if you go into Sage Mantis, pastries is the way to go.
Now, I am Canadian, so donuts.
Donuts.
They're an official food group in Canada.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah. I'm shocked, being part Canadian myself. I was not aware of that.
Yes,
now, do they have to be a certain type of donut?
No.
No, just any
all
old
donuts.
All donuts
are personally, good. I personally prefer jelly donuts, but jellies are great.
What type of jelly needs to be in that donut?
It doesn't matter.
It can be any kind.
It can be a custard. It can be a jelly. It can be, they're all jellies.
So a filling of some sort that is not cream or...
No, it can be cream.
Oh, it can even be a cream, like a Boston cream.
Yeah, like a Boston cream is a jelly donut.
Nice. All right. Fantastic. So, folks, you know, bring Mike some donuts. Stat. He needs them. He is not happy. He's happy where he's at. He's happy to serve the public and customers. But in order to get him even more happy, Which I believe you could be more happy.
Who couldn't be more happy?
Well, there's a few people that couldn't be more happy.
Name one.
One of my daughters, I'm sure, couldn't be more happy.
She could not be more happy.
Because she's my daughter.
Oh.
How could you be more happy than being my daughter? You would not know that. You
right.
would not know the answer to that.
I do not have the answer to that.
But, you know, in a few years, you can interview one of my daughters. It doesn't matter. Either one. They're both interchangeable. And you can see, you know, what it takes to be more happy than what they are.
Yeah, what if they're, like,
angsty
so
teenagers?
Yeah.
That's not allowed. That won't be allowed. No, we're not going to do that. No.
They're going to be angsty teenagers.
Yeah, no. Okay. Don't curse me like that. That's mean. That's cruel. For Canadian, I'm kind of shocked and awed
at
that.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. That's what we were looking for here today, folks. So,
how many apologies will you get out of me?
In this episode, 12.
Okay.
And we already got one.
11 to go.
Let's see if we can do it. All right. So today's topic that we're going to be discussing today here is community.
Right.
So in the pre-show, I've already read the definition of community and given the two quotes that we're using today, one from Fred Rogers and one from Goethe or Goethe. Some people pronounce it Goethe. My first question to you, Mike, is how do you pronounce his name?
Goethe. It's definitely Goethe. Anyone who pronounces it Goethe, you get to punch.
Really?
Yeah, it's true.
You get to punch that person.
I learned that in my philosophy class.
Okay. So the reason why I pronounce it Goethe is because some people do pronounce it that way before you go ahead and strike me down.
Right.
But I just, you know, for some of the folks out there, they want to pronounce it that way. You prefer Goethe, and that's okay.
I appreciate you allowing me to be right.
Well, I like it when you're right, because then that means that I'm right. And, you know, couldn't you be more happier if you were more right? I don't think you could be.
Many things would make me happier. Pronunciation of people's names, probably not high on that list.
Not high on the list. Okay. So what do you think about the quotes that we had from Goethe and from Fred Rogers?
Okay, so Fred Rogers' quote was...
And I have it right here if you'd like to take a look at it again.
Oh, no.
You've got it memorized?
I'm good.
It is tattooed on your chest. I did see it tattooed on your chest. I don't know why he's showing me his chest hairs, but he is doing that right now as we're sitting in this coffee shop. But
for the folks at home, the gist of
for
Fred
the
Rogers'
game.
Quote mm-hmm. was him talking about how the people that actually are involved in the community are the people that he sees as being heroes.
Mm-hmm.
That there are people that walk by or somebody's in trouble. They don't feel invested in that person as part of a community. The people that stop and help that person are the people that Fred Rogers considers a hero.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm remembering the quote right.
You are remembering it correctly, so you enjoying that quote spoke to you.
Right. I think that there's a lot of sidelines people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and more now. I mean, it's weird. To give an example, when we moved into the neighborhood that we're currently in,
mm-hmm.
I went with home-baked goods to the neighbors and introduced myself and was like, hey, we're neighbors, we're just moving in. And
mm-hmm.
they looked at me like I was insane because he was a stranger coming over and knocking on the door and introducing themselves. You only go to people's houses if there's an emergency, not if you're...
Now, let me ask you a question on this, because I've known you now for about 5 years. What color was your hair when you did that?
The color of my hair was probably brown.
It was brown. Okay, so it was a natural color.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. Never mind. Go ahead. The reason why is because I've had purple mohawks, and I could understand if somebody was a little bit verklempt, shall we say, a little bit alarmed if I came up with baked goods to their house and said, hi, I'm your neighbor.
Right. But the point, I don't know if this is a point or not.
It is a point.
But what I'm trying to maneuver myself towards is that the idea of what is a community has changed, and that the face-to-face sort of interactions with people, that community, I think, has drifted apart. But it's sort of been replaced with the digital community now, like the online people. You have the GoFundMes and the Hey Help Me Outs and pages, mm-hmm. and people will give money to the people in need, and that's fantastic. But if they saw them on the street, mm-hmm. wouldn't stop and help, they look at the person who's homeless as an inconvenience when they're walking. But that same person will give money to somebody they don't know,
sure.
to have their window fixed or to help them get into college or to mm-hmm. do whatever. Mm-hmm. So the idea of community, the what is a community, has changed, and that in some ways it's a lot broader because we live in this digital world. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the interpersonal in-person community has suffered.
I think, and I can't verify the information that I'm going to share with you, so I'm going to share it with you anyways.
Right,
because
just making this up.
Because that's what we do. No, I actually heard it someplace. I heard it on NPR, and they're very reliable, more reliable than my show. You know,
okay,
but
certainly more viewers.
Yeah, well, just three more viewers than me.
Just three more.
You know, and that's on statistics that I have created.
Right.
And I don't have any viewers. I have listeners, but that's okay. I've got, they've got three more than I do. So, but they were saying with the GoFundMe accounts that well over half are dedicated to people's medical bills. So they're like one of the largest insurers in the country.
Right. That doesn't surprise me at all.
You know, so, we have a tendency to develop the community around us to better ourselves. Well, to, for an emergency, if we need it, but in order to enrich and enliven ourselves, we need to have that community around us, you think?
Right. When I had Little Fish Comics, at one point there was a vandalism incident involving the
slingshots.
Mm-hmm. And somebody broke the window in the front.
It wasn't me. Right. I know there's a lot of fingers pointed at me.
I'm not saying it was you.
Just because I'm from Chicago.
But the...
We don't use slingshots in Chicago, by the way.
That would be an amazing town if it was a city, if it was just all slingshots.
That would be, it'd be a lot nicer place to live in.
Exactly.
It'd be a lot nicer.
Fewer rocks.
Fewer rocks would be needed, yeah. That's true.
But one of our customers set up a GoFundMe for Little Fish Comics. Didn't talk to me about it. Just set it up that day.
Mm-hmm.
And the community of people that were coming to the store
mm-hmm.
donated enough to have the window repaired within 24 hours. So
nice.
That was crazy. And that's a cool way that the digital world can interact with the actual sort of meat world.
The meat world, as in like cow, ham,
yep.
Limburger cheese.
Yep.
No.
Physical world.
The physical world. Okay,
right.
Gotcha.
As opposed to the digital world.
Understood. Digital meat, I hear, is making a breakthrough.
Yeah, but you starve. It's not as filling.
It really isn't as filling.
Looking at pictures of cows, it's just not the same.
It's satisfying, yet not fulfilling. And I'll give you that. But it is satisfying to look at pictures of cows. I often look at videos of cows myself. But that's what I do.
I've got nothing to say to that.
Nor am I looking for you to say anything to that. You know, what more can you say after that? So now, Goethe's thing is, the world is empty if one thinks only of mountains, rivers, and cities. But to know someone who thinks and feels with us, and who, though distant, is close to us in spirit, this makes the earth for us an inhabited garden. How does that make you feel? Do you have a community? Now, there's an arts program. We talk a lot about arts here, obviously.
Sure.
And we had our, I don't even want to call it a disagreement. We had our miscommunication. We defined words differently in our last conversation.
Okay. You're going to have to refresh me on what word.
With
what
the
you're
artist.
Referring to.
Okay. With the term artist.
Right.
You were referring to a professional artist. I was referring to amateur artistry. As being an artist. So for this, your community, do they provide you an inhabited garden, artistically.
Artistically. Yeah. Well, here's the thing that I think is kind of interesting about artistic communities. Mm-hmm. I think that up to a certain point, they're incredibly helpful. That they can inspire you to continue. They can push you to create. When a community is made up of the same sort of artists,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to use, let's say, podcasting as an example.
Please do.
My impression mm-hmm. of having listened to several people talking about making podcasts mm-hmm. and how to make podcasts is that up to the inception point of creating the podcast, mm-hmm. incredibly helpful and sure. wonderful to each other.
Right.
Once you actually have that podcast up and running
mm-hmm.
and it becomes a competition,
mm-hmm.
the community sort of doesn't help as much.
Right.
And that now that they're up and running, now that you've gotten them creatively going,
yep.
now you don't want them to have viewers or listeners because mm-hmm. you want those listeners for yourself. If they're talking about the same sorts of things, there's a measure of where the pendulum is going to go, and you want mm-hmm. it to go towards you rather than towards them.
Kind of like a territorial kind of thing, would you say?
Right. I've experienced it with writing in the sense sure. of when you're a struggling writer,
mm-hmm.
professional writers will give you a lot of advice, will give you a lot of helpful advice. Mm-hmm. As soon as you are a published author and you're interacting with another published author, mm-hmm. it becomes weird because they're not talking to you like mentor, mentee,
mm-hmm.
not even as peers, like equal. You're more guarded because
mm-hmm.
if I have a story idea and I'm trying to flesh it out, I might not talk to somebody that I know has published a book
sure.
because I'm worried that they will take that idea and publish it, work it out, because I know that they have the ability to do that mm-hmm. because they've published before. Mm-hmm. Whereas somebody who's struggling as a writer, I might feel more free to talk about an idea in front of and workshop an idea
mm-hmm.
because I'm not as concerned that it's going to be stolen. Gotcha. So there's a... Among communities of the same sort of artistry,
mm-hmm.
there's a guardedness, I think, that happens after a certain point, at a certain level,
sure.
that doesn't help.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's any way to get past that beyond being proprietary, thinking of that idea as being yours,
mm-hmm.
and getting to where I think is a more evolved state of, hey, here's an idea, and even if they do something with that idea, it doesn't diminish what you're doing with the idea at all. So I think that's the sort of the next level of community, is where you can get to that point of openly discussing things without the fear.
Sure.
But generally speaking, in sort of a consumer capitalist kind of base,
mm-hmm.
where you're chasing the monetary value of things, there's always going to be a guardedness that will get in the way of producing a creative idea in a community, in a group. Because who owns that idea?
Exactly. Who does own that idea? If a bunch of people are developing it, if you workshop an idea, if you bring a short story to a group and they toss in their critiques, when does it become theirs? When does it become the community's and cease being yours?
Right.
You know? And that can be a downfall of communities as well, of folks that are in the same disciplines, you know, a group of writers, a group of podcasters. Absolutely. I've witnessed that too. You know, you get to that, you know what you're saying, that certain level of where it's no longer your amateur doing it for fun, doing it for a hobby. It's, I just, you know, with podcasting, I scored my first advertiser. And then where's that next phase? How do I get my next advertiser on here? How do I get, you know, B-level celebrities on my show?
Right.
And there's really no way of going about doing it. I've attended three conferences, and it's all a push on monetization. And then they're going to show you how to do that, but you're going to pay, you know, sure. $40 a month, $50 a month for that.
Right.
And so it's no longer mentor-mentee. It's a business.
They're providing a service at that point. It's not them mentoring you. They're offering their expertise as a service to be bought. And the fear and the at least for me, my still discomfort when we go back to that idea of workshopping an idea. If I put forward a short story in a group and they add things in and I make use of that, there comes a point where you have to give credit.
Right.
And it's never clear at what that level is. At what point you say thank you to the group for helping me workshop this versus giving somebody an author credit versus, you know, the different levels of contribution and then the expectation of reimbursement. If you say, well, this person did a lot of editing on my story, I'm going to give them a writing credit on it and being nice about it, and nice being, you know, just being honest and saying, hey, X person helped a lot. X person can then go, look, my name's on this too. I should be getting 50% of whatever.
Exactly.
So it becomes how much credit can you give and still make money at what you're doing.
You kind of lose the giving aspect of community versus the what's in it for me.
Right. And that's that goes to the Fred Rogers quote, actually. If you're, I think that sort of the fear of giving credit or helping out because you're not going to get anything out of it. That's the person that Mr. Rogers is saying isn't their hero. The person that's volunteering their expertise and help to somebody is the person that he's looking at as being a hero.
Fantastic thoughts there. Do you think, and I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here, and that's not just because that, you know, the drink that I have is in a skull cup, and the most of my tattoos have skulls on them.
Now, do you get to keep that cup? Or is that?
No, I do not. As far as that, well, I don't know. I might. I could fit in my bag nicely, I'm just saying. No, I wouldn't want to do that. I like these people here at this coffee shop that we're at.
Fantastic.
But
okay, so devil's advocate.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate here with that. And could it be that once you know, publish that first book, once you get that first sponsor, once you get that first, you know, $1,000 on Patreon,
sure,
that other people that have guided you, mentored you, at that point, then they kind of go, okay, well, you've made it over that hurdle, you've made it over that goal. Fly be free. Now it's up to you to do that. Yeah, now it's up to you to repeat that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. There comes a point when mentors become peers. And that fits into community somewhere. I mean, you can have a community of peers. You can have, I'm not sure what your point is to it, other than to say that yes, I think that at some point, you know, the student has become the master.
Oh, there you go, grasshopper.
that you've learned as much as you can from somebody in a practical sense, but at least artistically, since it's a creative endeavor, there's no limit on creativity, so you can keep learning from the same person and seeing how they create things and learn something new from them as long as they're willing to let you observe or interact. But in terms of a community, it becomes more difficult for peers in a competitive industry mm-hmm. to help each other out.
And their world is a very competitive industry.
There's only so much wall space for who gets to hang their paintings, right? So
that's true.
If you get that showing, it means somebody else isn't. Mm-hmm. And I don't. Again, I think that goes to that idea that the more evolved artistic ideal would be, congratulations, you've gotten this space, and I will get my space, and it's not a competition.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we're looking at trying to make a living at it, when the professional versus the amateur, I mean,
sure.
That's when you can't be as altruistic as you might want to be, because you're going for a limited resource.
So it basically, once you hit that point of you're no longer an amateur, you're professional, then you don't necessarily have to be cutthroat about it, but you have to, you've taken on a new master per se, instead of the inspiration fairy that, you know, flies around that,
right.
You know, hits everybody. There's, you have to think of it as a business. You have to go on that left side of the brain.
Right. I think that the community is a lot more willing to help you out on the creative end of things,
mm-hmm.
and a lot less willing to help you out on the business end of things. Because creatively, me helping you develop an idea that you've come up with and write that Sistina or tell your ode or whatever, that doesn't cost me anything.
Right.
Getting you to the... So once you have that idea developed, once you have that painting done, once you have that story written, and you're trying to get it published, that's where we start getting into competition. And that's where the community, I think, breaks down, mm-hmm. in the sense that we can work very well together on workshopping an idea. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you're trying to get it published, and if you're wearing the same art form, mm-hmm. like I'm writing science fiction stories and you're writing science fiction stories, there's only so many places that are accepting science fiction stories, and I might not want to tell you that about an idea where you could actually sell that idea if I'm intending to submit something to that place too.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the...
And that doesn't make you a bad person. That's
no, but
just,
I think, as I'm thinking about it, I'm mm-hmm. thinking that it's also misguided in the sense that while you and I are both submitting something to the same people,
mm-hmm.
we're not in competition with each other. We're in competition for their attention.
Mm-hmm.
You putting in a great story isn't stopping me from putting in a great story and both of us being accepted.
Sure.
But it's hard to get past that idea that it is a competition.
Mm-hmm.
That even though it, like I said, more evolved, I think you don't look at it as being competition with each other when you're living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop hitting the table because
no, you can hit the table as much as you want. Folks, he's about ready to flip over the table because he knows that if we were to go head to head in a science fiction writing contest, he would beat the crap out of me. He's a better writer than I am.
It is very kind of you to say.
Well, I try to be kind like that because, you know, I do fear you. I thought I should let everyone know. I do fear Mr. Porter here.
My mighty brain.
His mighty brain is something that I have been in awe of ever since I lived in Chicago, and he actually reviewed some of my work a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away and provided some good criticism for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a long time ago. Yeah, you may or may not remember it.
I think that you gave it to me at one of these spoken word open mics, if I'm remembering correctly.
I thought I'd give it to you when I lived in Chicago and until my wife passed it on to you. And then he emailed me back. It might have been at spoken word. There's been many, surgeries
so much
and
time.
Stuff. So much time has passed.
Yeah.
We've known each other for so long. Excellent. So with this community idea here, do you think it would be better to have a community of different disciplines? Would you be more willing to do a thing in different disciplines? So let's say you wanted to do some writing and then you were in a group of painters, podcasters, dancers, and all that kind of jazz.
Right. First, we have to overcome the idea that one discipline is better than another discipline.
No, I'm not.
Just trying to think of how that community would work, because you would tend, I think,
collaboration. Because as a writer, I can sit in this coffee shop that we're in right now, and I can look at the paintings on the wall and be inspired to write something because of that painting.
Right.
One of my books of poetry, Wisdom from the Sea, it was a 30 poems in 30 days. I did it twice. I had 60 poems in 60 days. And I gave it to my good friend Heather. And I said, I need some illustrations, paintings, what have you, anything grab you. And she did all the illustrations for it. And she did the editing on that poetry book. So I think art forms can influence and inspire each other. She's also a writer. She's also a poet and musician and all that kind of jazz. She's a lot like me, which is scary. She's the female version of me.
Well, do you think that makes it easier when you're a jack of all trades? Like that you can...
But a master of none.
You can look at how other disciplines can interact and, when you're painting... And that inspires you to write a poem about that piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well and good. You've worked those two disciplines together.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're only a writer,
if you're just a writer.
Just a writer.
Yeah. Just a lowly writer. Because, we all know that the writers are the lowest ones on the totem pole there. What do they got? A piece of paper and something to put it on.
Whatever.
You don't even need a pen. You can take Marquis de Sade's example and be in the insane asylum and write a whole book with poop.
I don't think that's true.
That is true. I saw it on a movie once.
I don't think he wrote a book in feces. I think that's a great story, but I don't think that's true.
We will put it in the show notes. We will find out. We'll do some investigative journalism here with all the money that you guys are putting in my Patreon account.
Now, what I think with a diverse community of different artists and artistic types, first you'd have to overcome the tendency for groups to clump together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people who are like yourself that are able to bring together a diverse set of skills into different forms of artistry to bridge that gap, because a lot of artists mm-hmm. tend to be insular creatures. They
right.
live inside their own heads. Mm-hmm. So when you get a group of artists together, it's usually a very quiet sort of, or it's incredibly raucous and has nothing to do with art.
Sure.
So in order to facilitate a productive community, you would have to have people that are able to bring people into the conversation.
Okay.
If you leave things to their own devices, I think that painters would clump with painters and writers would clump with writers, and they would maybe wave at each other across the room and say, "Yeah, your thing really inspired me. Thank you, and you're welcome."
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. But in order to actually get collaboration, you would need somebody to say, "Hey, come into this conversation.
Sure.
What do you think about X?"
Mm-hmm.
And make that person share. And once you get those boundaries down, mm-hmm. I think you would have an amazing group that that would fire off of each other. But until you have those facilitators inside of a community of artists, I think it's just going to be a lot of sort of quiet introspection and every so often very hesitantly showing something to somebody else.
So what's stopping you from creating this community? Me? Am I stopping you from this?
Yes, it's all your fault.
It usually is my fault.
It is. No, for myself.
Would you want
hey, look,
to?
I'm picking up the cup.
You're picking up the cup. Now he is, you know, deep in thought. He's being very contemplative here, folks. But my question to him is going to be, you know, do you feel yourself would thrive if that community was presented to you?
No,
you don't think you'd thrive in that.
No, I think I can see how other people would thrive in that and how beneficial it would be.
Sure.
But I am.
You're very insular.
I am crazy shy, and I don't like groups of people, and I would much rather, you know, my wife has said in the past, like, hey, we'll go out and we'll have fun going into groups, and we have very different definitions for fun in those things. I sort of, at any gathering, end up against a wall and sort of watching, and then every so often I'll make the effort to dive back in like one of those valiant sea turtles.
Oh, yeah.
Just sort of pushing it, trying to get in, and
absolutely.
Then the tide of the party will push me back up against the wall, and I'll get my breath back and kind of get that energy back up of being by myself, and then I'll dive back into the party. But
it's not for you.
Yeah, I'm not a big sharing kind of person.
Do you think that would, it's not for you, but would you get benefit from it? Do you feel you would get benefit from it?
The brutal honesty of self-reflection, I would probably benefit very much from it. I'm not sure anybody would benefit from me being there.
Okay.
Because I would not be sharing as much as I would be sort of quietly in the corner listening and taking notes and bettering myself, because I don't deal with groups very well. I'm just not extroverted enough.
That's okay. We don't have the couch here today, so we're not going to psychoanalyze you. I hope you're okay with that.
Sure.
Okay, good. I mean, if you want to, we can go to my house in the man cave in the studio. I have a couch there.
Right.
With a vibrating chair. It doesn't have heat, but I do have a little firebox there that, you know, we can turn on and have some heat pour on us, and we can psychoanalyze you if you like.
Well, I'm just saying that right now there's two of us.
There is.
Yeah.
Well, there's three of us. There's you and me and the listener.
Right, but they're not interacting.
Sure they are. They're judging us as we're talking.
Oh, sure. They're quietly judging. That
they're
Mike
quietly
is full
judging
of shit. What is he talking
they
about?
They know
he
does I'm not, full of shit.
He does not know what he whereof he speaks. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what they're thinking. So their judgment of me has no impact on me talking to you. I feel no weight of people around me judging what I'm saying. I feel a little bit because I'm in a coffee shop and I'm sure that other people can hear me, and I'm feel a little nervous. I'm more nervous now that I'm thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. But you're here with me.
Right.
And I'm a very...
Yeah, you can take
it. I can take it. I'm a very, you know, a extrovert, you could say. I've been known to be that way on occasion.
Okay.
So I'll take them on for you. If anyone harasses you...
Sure.
Chicago Tim's got you back. Right.
But the point being that...
There's a point.
Yeah. Something. Oh, that I don't mind the idea of the listener, because it's not going to affect what I'm saying.
Sure.
Right now. On the other hand, if I was in a room with the expressed purpose of us as a group doing something together...
Mm-hmm.
I would feel a great deal of weight in expressing my opinion to a bunch of people that would be judging that opinion in real time in front of me, which again goes back to that idea of digital community. I'm a lot more comfortable sharing stuff on a forum than I am in person.
So maybe what we need to do is to set up a community where you can be cloistered in a room where you can view what's going on, and then you provide your feedback without having to actually be in the physical presence of the people in the room. And then they could get a readout of it, you know, that you could write your, you know, paragraph or whatever it is and say what you liked and what you didn't like about it. And just leave it at that. And then that way you don't have to interact with these people.
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay, we won't do that for you. Not a problem. So this idea of community, these artist communities, are not necessarily your cup of tea. And it's understandable. It's understandable. You've explained yourself pretty well.
I love the idea of, the artist community of painters that are off and they all have the same thing that they're painting, and the teacher moves around and looks at their stuff and gives them pointers, and that you're there to develop your skill at painting. And I'm sure the same thing can work for almost any artistic endeavor. Mm-hmm. But when it's more interactive, when it's more on the level of peers, that's where I get really nervous and less comfortable, and I don't think I would be the hero that Mr. Rogers would want me to be.
Okay. All right. And you need to be the hero that Mr. Rogers wants you to be.
Everybody should be the hero that Mr. Rogers wants.
Folks, you heard it here first. You know, Mr. Rogers, he's got a movie coming out, I hear.
It's on Netflix, and it's fantastic.
It is on Netflix. Yeah. Did I miss it in the theaters already?
I don't know if it was released in theaters. I'm not sure.
Tom Hanks, right? Was that playing Mr. Rogers?
Oh, and we're thinking of something else. There's a movie coming out with Tom Hanks I wasn't aware of, but there is a biography of Mr. Rogers on Netflix currently, and it was really good.
There is a movie, from what I understand. Now, again, you know, NPR has better information than I do because they have three more viewers than I do.
Yeah.
Not listeners, but viewers. But yeah, there's a movie that's supposed to come out with Tom Hanks playing the part of
Rogers. They might have more listeners, but your listeners are higher caliber.
They're very good-looking folks.
More discerning.
They are more discerning. They're way more intelligent.
That's what I heard.
That's what I know.
I heard that recently.
I know that they are way more intelligent. Way more intelligent. They're nicer people. They're people that you want to, you know, bring over to your house and have a wonderful conversation with.
Well, bring over to your house.
Well, bring over to my house, absolutely. Right. I'd love to bring all the people that listen to this podcast over to my house.
Right.
And, you know, I would cook some poutine for some of them.
Man, poutine would be amazing. Them.
And for the other people, I would, bust out my grill and grill up some steaks, some asparagus. Grilled asparagus is very tasty. And the little dish that I made last night for my wife with the Alfredo sauce, the pasta shells, asparagus, and we had
scallops.
Scallops, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh my gosh. The scallops that I made, that my wife, you know, had three bowls of in less than 24 hours. And she thoroughly enjoyed. She's probably going to have some more tonight.
Well, see, that's the thing. Community. You can define community by what foods you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. You really can. Yeah. You really can. You know, there's people that like farm to table stuff. There's people that are, you know, raw. They like nothing cooked. There's your vegans, vegetarians, pescatarians, pain in the butt-tarians, you know, all that kind of good stuff.
Sure.
And the omnivores, and of course the carnivores, the carnivores have tiny little arms. Just saying. All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for this conversation with us here in community. You provided a lot of great insights, I think. You know, folks, community is out there for you. I think you can create community if you really want to. I think Mike brings up some fantastic points about once it comes from a mentor-mentee situation to a peer situation. But I think you made some great points with that. Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with community?
I think that the only other thing that I would say about community is that almost by definition, it's an investment. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to invest time and effort in order to build community. Communities don't just happen. If they did, when I brought cookies over to the neighbors, they would have just been, oh, hey, neighbor, what? Thank you, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You have to continually reinforce the idea that the people that you want to be in a community with are important to you, that they have value, mm-hmm. and that you have insight or value for them. And that's what keeps a community together, I think. That the idea that you're in something together, mm-hmm. or you have something to share with each other in common.
Excellent. And, you know, just like we're building this community with you, our listeners here, Chemo's Den of Iniquity, where we create more than we consume. Can't wait for y'all to listen to this episode and the rest of our episodes. Go back through our catalog. You can always reach out to us at kdoipodcasting@gmail.com. Let us know if you would like to get involved in this. We have 11 topics for you to choose from. Mike here, he chose this topic. He chose two topics, and we picked this one. We may get him to talk on the other topic at a later time. But that's how easy it is. Mike, was this pretty easy for you?
This was fantastic. I love doing this. This is a painless way of expressing opinion. It's like, mm-hmm. if you don't like, everybody likes talking about themselves, and this is sort of an extension of that. I think it's you asking what I think about X. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you about X and why I think that. In my opinion, why my opinion matters.
So our next episode with Mike here, we are going to ask him what he thinks about the letter X. That's right. We'll probably use the capital X versus the lowercase x because, you know, Mike has a lot of thoughts about the uppercase X, I believe.
It's true.
He more thoughts about the uppercase versus the lowercase. So again, thank you for tuning in. We will see you next episode. Remember, create more than you consume. All right. Well, thank you for joining me as I go down memory lane in discussing community with Mike Porter. He was my comic book guy, not my cartoon guy, but he was my comic book guy. Way back in the day, unfortunately, he had to close his shop. But it was a fantastic conversation that we had at a local coffee shop here in town. So you got to hear a little bit of the ambiance, as it were. I really enjoyed doing these conversations on specific topics with a lot of my artistic friends. And I hope you got something out of it. Now, I would ask you, if you did get something out of it, go ahead and subscribe or follow on your podcast app of choice, or you can go right ahead to the website, createartpodcast.com, and subscribe right there. In 2022, we're going to be doing these KDOI rebroadcasts. There'll be 10 episodes. This is the first one, and we'll have our regular episodes. And I also want to remind you that I run another podcast called Find a Podcast About, and that's where we help you find your next binge-worthy podcast and outsmart the algorithm. And you can find that at findapodcastabout.xyz. For Create Art Podcast, you can email me, timothy@createartpodcast.com. We do have a Twitter and a Instagram account and a YouTube page for you as well. All the links will be in the show notes. So it's been my pleasure to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. Now go out there and create some art for somebody you love, yourself. We'll see you next time. This has been a Gagglepod East Studio production. Gagglepod, where we've been helping creatives tell their story through podcasting
since 2017. You can find all of our network shows at gagglepod.com. Get in contact with us. We want to help you tell your story to the world through podcasting.